So, we tonight are going to be looking at Colossians, which you try to put it into a document, it would give you all kinds of spell checker, and nobody believes in Colossians. I don't know, but at any rate.
We should. It's the city of Colossae. So.
It's from the, yes. And that's how you know how to spell it, even though the spell checker thinks you're crazy, is you put Colossae ands. So, yes.
Oh, yeah, what's A-E? Colossae ends in A-E.
What?
Colossae, the city, ends in A-E.
Oh.
It's a well, Greek, it's a Greek, it's spelled in a Greek
it,
way.
In some places it does, and some it ends in I, but I've seen it different ways, but you're right. I think some of them do. That's the well, Roman spelling instead of the Greek spelling.
No, that's the Greek spelling, A-E, according to my Greek scholar from Australia who's
okay.
Greek. Okay. Who's Greek. She's Greek.
Well, I also took Latin. And A-E is I in Latin.
She spells it A-E. So
anyway.
A-E, maybe it's Roman, maybe it's Greek.
Today we're looking at Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14. It's kind of short, but it's got a lot of good stuff in it. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with His power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience and joy. Give thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Help us to study it and to know it. And just guide us as we try to understand everything and we see why we need spiritual understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. So the question was, why do we need to grow spiritually? And the reason we came to was that it allows us to understand what we're reading and what we were being told. And this is what Paul was saying to the people in Colossae, no matter how you spell it. Because it was, they were not understanding necessarily what was going on. Paul's getting good reports from Colossae. This church was started by a guy named Epaphras, but now they need to grow in faith because Epaphras was a Greek convert. And so he was teaching what he came to understand, but he didn't have the full knowledge of it all. So Paul is now speaking to them about things. Paul says he never forgets to pray for them. He's heard great things about them. He loves to listen and tell about them. And he's very happy with them. And he never forgets to pray that they will continue going the way they should go. There are people who've come through this church that I still will suddenly just be led by the Lord to pray for. Because it's like, Lord, you know, they were on the right track. They were going in the right direction. Please keep them going. Yeah. You know, one of the ones, of course, is Vicky's son. That he has got himself on the straight and narrow. Now, he's done this many times before, but this time it seems like it sticks.
Yeah.
And so I keep praying for him. Oh, take good care of Corey because he needs to keep following you, you know? and let him know that if he needs to call me and talk about something, if that's wonderful, that's fine. I love to do that.
Corey's doing well. I just saw him day before yesterday.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy that he's doing well.
Yes.
He's always seemed to be about this little kid, and that he, but he just kept making bad decisions. And I'm just praying that he stops making those bad decisions. So Paul says he asks that they be filled with spiritual understanding. He wants them to be worthy of the Lord. He wants them to be following and doing the right thing and not just be some yahoos who are out, you know, playing church. This is one of the things that I always said. When we moved from Florida to Vermont, I observed that a lot of the churches in Vermont, they were playing church. This actually caused Pat to leave a church because they were playing church and it was meaningless. And so she almost turned against Christ because it's like, what's the use of this? It's nothing but a game. And then she came to a meeting with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, a retreat that we did, and she came to know the actual real Jesus Christ. And her mom still can't figure out why she hasn't given this up yet. But at any rate, I think she knows because her mom is now close to God too.
Yeah. In her own version of it.
Yep.
She keeps telling me that her version is different than mine, but I don't. If we get into it, we usually fight. So we don't get into it. We kind of let it sit on.
But he wants them to bear fruit and grow in knowledge. This is one of the things that we see. I've often said that when my daughter got saved, she went out and tried to tell all of her friends they need to come to Jesus. That's how I knew that this was a real deal, was the Holy Spirit had gotten a hold of Casey and said, you need to go tell people about this. Don Francisco had a song that said, I got to tell somebody, because it was the guy Jesus had healed his daughter and said, now don't tell anybody. And he says, I can't help it. I got to tell somebody, you know. He wants them to be strengthened with God's power. There's a lot of times that people get involved in the church and become a Christian, and then they look at what Christ is calling them to do, and they say, how could I possibly do that? Well, you can't. But God will give you the strength to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to know where to go. And he wants them to give thanks for their inheritance in the light. Now, Paul calls it the inheritance of the saints. We were having a discussion amongst two people I was talking to. And the idea of what is a saint. Now, in the Catholic Church, of course, they appoint you a saint for whatever reason. And I used to torment, when I was at St. Michael's College, I used to torment the brothers, not the priests would just get mad. They, you know, I'm a priest, I know, you know. But the brothers were supposed to be learning. And so they felt like they needed to prove me wrong. But I would say, what's a saint? So, you know, was Francis a saint before they appointed him a saint, or was he appointed a saint because he already was? And it looked like they were going to have to reboot their brain. It was not something they'd thought about because it was very by rote for them. So, we believe in our tradition that a saint is anybody who's given his life to Christ. You automatically become a saint. One of the things that happens, and once again, it was actually yesterday, is they have what they call All Saints Day. That's why it's actually one of the old ancient English terms was All Hallows Day. And so that's why you had the last day of October is All Hallows Eve, Halloween. And so, but They did that because, like, what if there are saints that we haven't appointed to be saints yet? We didn't know about it. They just went out and were saintly. They're doing this TV show with Martin Scorsese about the saints. And they have one now that was this kid who spent his last days, he had a terminal illness, he spent his last days on the internet doing podcasts to tell people about Jesus and lead them to the Lord. And they've decided that he's one of those saints that would have been overlooked. But John Paul II said, no, we're going to have him be a saint, boys, because he's doing what we're supposed to do and doing it better than most of us. So I'm looking forward to seeing this show about him. But we have an inheritance as saints that are those who came before us. I often talk about those who came before us, those who set the standard. We do this both in civilian life or civil life and all this. We look at the founders of the United States. They're those who came before and set this country up and got it going right. And now we're finding out that they may have been a little too idealistic. But they knew that. And so they put a thing in saying, this is how you can change this Constitution. And so now that they're playing silly games with the Constitution, these wonderful men put something in there to say, this is what it's like if you have honorable men running your government. If you don't, you can modify your Constitution to protect against those who are not so honest. I won't say that they're Democrats, but we all know. Anyway, why are we doing this? Why is he teaching this to these people? Well, God has transferred, has rescued us from darkness. Jesus said that men hate the gospel because it's the light, and they love the darkness because their deeds are evil. He's pulling us out of that darkness and into the light and saying, now, act in the light so everybody can see and be like me. And then Paul says he has transferred us into the kingdom. This is what I always tell people. When people, there are some people who are keep score kind of guys. And, it, you know, one way for keep score is you how many attaboys you have and how many all shucks. But another way that they have keep score is how many people have you led to the Lord? And I always tell everybody I've never led anybody to the Lord. There are a lot of people who came to the Lord after I told them about the gospel. But I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did. That's the way Jesus said and the apostles said. You don't come to Jesus because of some preacher, some glorious preacher. You come to Jesus because the Holy Spirit takes what you hear and lights up your life and lights up your heart and says, you need to dedicate yourself to me. And so you do it. And it says we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. This is the heart of the four spiritual laws that I always tell everybody you ought to memorize them. You know, God loves you and has planned for your life. Well, we're not experiencing God's plan for our life. That's because we're separated from Him by sin. And there's nothing we can do about it. The good part is that Jesus gave His life so that we could be redeemed and forgiven. The only thing is, we have to take it. We have to say, yes, I believe that. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to take God's forgiveness and redemption in my life. So, that comes from spiritual understanding. And people don't even know that. Here is somebody who knows nothing about Jesus. But when you preach the gospel to them, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their life. And they may not know all the specifics of Christianity, but they know that Jesus is the only way to God. That is spiritual understanding. That, you know, it may just be the beginning of it, but it's spiritual understanding. So what does this mean for us? We always look at this and say, wow, okay, we got these guys writing these books. What does this mean to us? We hope we have good reports about us. I hope that people all over are saying, you know, that Eagle Wing is a good place. They're helping people. My belief is that most of them are saying, oh, this is little, you know, never-growing congregation and so on like that, and so it's not much of a much. And so they kind of look down on us. That's okay.
Right, the people that I know that in our association and stuff, they say, you may not be small, but you're doing what you're supposed to do. Like Tim said, you're doing what you're called to do.
Yep.
They said, well, we're only leading one person at a time to Jesus, and we only have a small group that are gathering on Sunday, and they said, that's what you're called to do.
Yep.
If you were a big church, they wouldn't come. If you were a big church, they probably wouldn't come because they wouldn't feel comfortable.
Well, and the thing about it is that the biggest question we get is, why are you doing this? And then we tell them, we're doing this because Jesus told us to do this. Jesus told us to take care of people who need to be taken care of. And you do. So that's what we're doing. We should always pray for our church and its leaders, particularly when they're old and falling down on the ground and don't hear well. Just keep praying for your leaders, because sometimes we have a hard time thinking we're going to keep going.
I just texted a second church.
We should be filled with spiritual understanding.
It's like, okay.
We need to have spiritual understanding so we can see what God's trying to tell us. You know, so many times somebody says, when you say God told you, how do you know God told you? Well, I can't explain it to you. When you're close to God, you know what He's trying to say to you. When I'm doing a sermon, I'll come to a point and I'll think, Lord, I don't know how to phrase this. And He says, phrase it like this. And I'm going, oh, that's perfect. Of course it is, God. But how do I know He said that? I believe that what had entered my mind, it was God saying, write it like this. And that's why my sermons tend to turn out better than even I thought it were going to. We need to make God proud of us. Now, what I mean by that is we need to live our lives in such a manner that we're saying to ourselves, when I'm doing this, is God proud of me? And if not, then I might not want to do that.
I'm not so sure it's proud that you're thinking of as being faithful.
Yes. Doing what God wants, something that makes Him proud, you know. I, at one point, I came home from church when my parents were up here visiting, and I had been asked to preach, and my mom started to cry. I said, what's the matter, Mom? What happened? I'm so proud of you. The way you live your life, the way you raise your kids, I'm so proud of you. And unless you've had that happen to you, I cannot describe what it's like. It was just, it's what the pastor at Rock of Hope used to say was fulfillment. It's like, okay, you've done it. You did good, Walter. But, you know, we want to make God feel that way. And that's what, and once again, that's what Pastor John would say to me. I said, I have this feeling that I get, and it scares me sometimes. And he said, that's fulfillment, Walter. It means God's proud of you. And so, you know, I try to do that. We need to bear fruit as God leads us to. recently we've seen people in the government saying, what are you doing? What are you producing? And it would not be unusual for God to say the same thing, to send the Holy Spirit to say, what are you doing? What are you producing? Well, we have a few things we could say. And one of the things we can do in our lives is we can say, I want to be able to have something to say if somebody says, what are you doing for God? I want to be able to tell them what I do for God and not just have some little thing that I made up, you know, on the spot. God will strengthen us. This is the thing that we need to remember. And I, you guys have probably seen me time and time again. I forget it. God will strengthen us. We worry. And Bud Gilbert used to say, if it's God's will, it's God's will. We need to remember that. Don't worry about it.
Scripture, I can do all things through God who gives me strength.
Right. And we need to always remember what Jesus has done for us. One of the little prayers that I have on my prayer mat starts out, God, remind me of all of the crap that you saved me from. You know, and it's like, yeah, you know. A lot of people might think, well, you're as good as these other people. Well, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough is be like Jesus perfectly, and none of us are ever going to do that. It just doesn't work, but we need to keep pushing forward to try to go in that direction. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight, not very many people, but that's okay. We know that the people are here that you wanted here, and that when you want more people, you'll bring them. We just ask you, Lord, to make things work out right so Katisha can be here and John can be here and a lot of the people who would be here but have been prevented for various reasons will be able to make it. And, Lord, we pray for Ben that having his skin grafts and so on, that we pray that he'll be healed and he'll come back and show us all the things God has done for him. And, Lord, I just thank you that we have good doctors that's going to mess with my eyes. Help me to stop being worried about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.